The Justice Center at Rensselaer County held a forum on environmental justice on Sunday, April 14th in Rensselaer. In this segment, Bob Welton of the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition provides an overview and update on the effort to close Dunn Construction and Demolition Debris Landfill in the city of Rensselaer.
Thank you, Dr. Carpenter, and I want to thank the Justice Center. They have been a strong supporter of this effort right along, and I was never in, you know, anything like this before this situation. So how I got into it, one day I was looking at the Times Union, and they had a picture of the school next to the landfill, and I call that my WTF moment. I said, you know, this can't be. This is not real. And I said, how could the state ever approve this? The school, okay, is a 1,000-person school with a three-county BOCES program in it. It was opened in 2008. 4 years later, the DEC approved this C&D dump at what was a gravel mine, which is still a gravel mine, but now it has a CD component to it. Everybody knew the school was there. They knew it. And they still approved it. That still blows my mind that that happened. And we looked into it. We looked into the original application. We looked into how the approval was done. And you would hardly know there was a school there if you read the paperwork. Now, we don't know what really happened. We don't know if the governor said put it there. We'll never know that. The location of the school, it's also just by Route 90. Got the school sandwiched between Route 90 and a C&D dump, which takes debris from seven states, okay? 100 trucks a day. That's 200 trucks round trip right through the city of Rensselaer. So the route through the city of Rensselaer goes through Broadway, and then it comes up what's called Partition Street. Now, Partition Street is a very hilly street. There's very steep hills up and down. Okay, these trucks, when they're loaded, they weigh like 80,000 pounds. When they come up that hill, they can't go more than 5 miles an hour. The noise from those diesel trucks is unbelievable. And I've been there several times. I have to wear earplugs. We stand on a sidewalk. We've used a decibel meter. The readings of decibels, the highest reading I think we got was like 107 decibels from the sidewalk. That's like standing next to a jet plane. It's so loud. You've got the noise. You've got the constant noise that people that live there are exposed to. And the houses on that street are old houses. They're built close to the street. They're not that far from the street. People park on the street. They try to walk on the sidewalk. We don't know about the diesel exhaust, but because it's never been measured. But the sound, that acute noise, that causes cardiac problems, anxiety. There's a lot of health issues from chronic noise. The other thing that we discovered, and we discovered it with help from a group called PEER, which is Professional Employees for Environmental Responsibility, they funded a test for PFAS for us to use in the groundwater, little creeks and streams on the outside of the landfill. And we found PFAS. PEER reported that to DEC. DEC said, oh, it's really nothing. It's everywhere anyway. It's not coming from the landfill. Lo and behold, we didn't know this at the time, but DEC, right after we revealed that information, ordered the landfills to start testing their groundwater inside the landfill for PFAS. And lo and behold, they found it. Because, you know, a lot of it did not exceed standards. They kind of said, oh, it's no big deal. But there's something called leachate. Leachate is the fluid that comes through the landfill from rain and snow and that, and it goes to the bottom, and it goes into collection ponds. So what happens with that leachate is it's tanker trucked every week to the Albany County Wastewater Treatment Plant in Menands. So what happens with the leachate goes through a regular sewage treatment plant. What it does to the PFAS is it actually it changes the structure of the PFAS, so it's actually augmented. And that PFAS is going in the Hudson River, and it's also going in the sludge, which is a byproduct of the sewage treatment plant. I don't really know what happens with all the sludge, but it's going in the Hudson. So PFAS is going down the Hudson, And it's not just this landfill, it's all the other landfills are doing the same thing. It's in the air, it's in the water, it goes in the soil. We know it's everywhere. It's very dangerous. So far, nothing's been done. So let me bring you up to date a little bit on the permit renewal. We had probably 250 written comments submitted to DEC. Comment period ended at the end of August. And the only thing that has come up since then is that the Dunn Landfill, on their website, put a letter that was to the permit administrator that is responsible for this. For the landfill, for the permit review, and the letter said they were considering reducing the number of trucks to 80 a day with a lot of qualifications and changing the times of the trucks. The times right now for the trucks are from 6:30 in the morning to I think it's 5:30 at night. They were considering changing the times to 7:45 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that sounds really good. It's a nice sort of bright, shiny object. They also said that they wanted to reapproach Rensselaer County to use the sewer system for the leachate. In other words, put it right, do what they're doing now, tankering it to Albany County Waste, but put it in the sewer system. So as soon as we saw that, we went to the county, and the county legislature in writing said there's no way we're going to allow that to happen. And they also said they want the facility closed, which they've said before because they've passed resolutions. The other part of this, the City of Rensselaer, the Hudson Mohawk chapter of the Sierra Club, and us are the three groups that have requested party status, which means we have a sort of an advanced seat at the table as further things develop, if there's different hearings and things like that. I talked to the mayor, and the mayor hosted a meeting with our legal representatives. And we came up with a letter which basically said this is an unsatisfactory, incomplete response to all the comments that have been made, and we'd like to know more what's going on. I know that's kind of like where things stand. I just wanted to mention a couple of other, you know about the Climate Leadership and Communities Protection Act, and they come up with these disadvantaged communities data, which Rensselaer has two zones that are disadvantaged communities. Compare those two zones with the rest of the 4,900 other census tracts in the state of New York. Rensselaer in the two zones are 98 and 92% higher than the rest of the state census tracts in vulnerability. And that includes all kinds of things like health. There's a lot of health information on there. One of the ones that really jumps off because it has to do with air, COPD emergency room visits are at 93% higher than the rest of New York State. Asthma is up there for emergency room visits, 63%. Someone asked me about DEC and whether they would make a change to help us out in this situation. We don't know. DEC is pro-business. It's kind of like it's in their system. You know, the people who work there, they're well-intended, but they have to work within the system they're in. Groups like us, we come into the picture when they have a special hearing or we ask for a meeting. We're not regularly included in the process, so it's kind of like stacked in a way because they know the people in the businesses. They don't know us so well, so it's kind of like it's a little one-sided. It's not quite fair. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is the Green Amendment. In the first case to reach the New York State Court of Appeals about the Green Amendment, is about a landfill in Monroe County. And the only thing that was continued by the Supreme Court to go to the Court of Appeals is the constitutional issue. So DEC is asking for a dismissal of this case. And our lawyers, we have Pace University Law Center is representing us. So they filed a brief on our behalf. And basically, our brief says that DEC is trying to say that the permit process, which can take years, is the way to guarantee people's constitutional rights. And that just can't be. And our lawyers are saying this has to be decided by the courts because this is a constitutional right. This is not something you can tickle for a few years while the people are still experiencing the problems. Something will come from that.
This recording was provided by Sonia Stark. It was edited by Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.